Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Frank O'Neill's on the line with us this morning, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Been with us on this program for lo these many years. How are you doing this morning, Frank?
I'm doing great, Dave. How about you?
I'm doing great, too. Summertime, what's not to like?
Yeah, you having a good summer?
I'm having a great summer. Weather's perfect, even getting a little rain down here in the south, so I couldn't be happier.
Oh, yeah, and you haven't had any rain, have you?
Well, we've had for this last month. It was dry up until somewhere in the first several days of July, and it's been raining on a regular basis ever since, so everybody's pleased. Nobody's griping about not being able to water their lawn, and everybody's just happy as they can be.
Well, that's good. I live for summer.
Yeah, me too. After all of our conversations about you shoveling snow up there, and that's why I moved down here in the first place. Who wants snow?
But there's nothing like the Northeast in the summertime. It's glorious here. Anyway, you have to come up and visit us, Dave.
I will do that. It's been it's been a long time anyway, and I may just do that. We have a lot of things on our list of topics this morning, several of which are earnings, and I thought we'd start off, I don't know if we started this alphabetically, but be that as it may, Armstrong reported their second quarter earnings. They did so on Monday, right after the close of market. I'll just run through some of this, and then we can talk about it.
Okay, I was struck some very interesting earnings reports this time around, so let's do it.
Okay, in the second quarter, earnings up by 24% to $51.6 million. Earnings per share up, $0.91. Analysts were looking for $0.57. Now, I will hasten to add, there were only two analysts. The average was only from two analysts, so I guess a lot of players aren't really covering that yet. And also, because the company has just exited bankruptcy, there's no prior or the year before quarter to compare with earnings per share.
Well, it's essentially a new company.
Exactly right.
So, yeah.
Sales in the quarter, $521 million. That's up by 4%. The second quarter sales increase, they said, included $15 million as a result of foreign exchange. I won't go through the first 6 months. In the resilient sector, sales were up by 2% to $323 million. They were flat if you include the foreign exchange in there. The wood sector, sales were off by 5% to $212 million. In the building product segment, the ceiling business, net sales up by 12% to $321 million, and they were up, I guess, including the foreign exchange, they were up by only 9%. But I guess with everything going on as it is, that's not so bad.
That's pretty good.
In the cabinet sector, sales were up by 9%.
Okay, you know, when I kind of get a big picture of this, floor covering business, the earnings were up 28%, and most of that came from really paying attention, I think, to operating efficiencies, reducing manufacturing expenses, and paying attention to operating efficiencies. And I was also struck by the fact that the floor covering business, the building products, the net sales there of $322 million were almost identical to the resilient flooring sales. So building products, and they were up considerably from $287 million last year. Building products is now, along with the resilient flooring business, is now the biggest business in Armstrong. Flooring, which kind of follows the trend in throughout the industry, flooring was down, as you said. Both resilient and wood flooring sales were down. So the star of Armstrong right now is the building products business. Cabinet sales, well, cabinet is a very small part of. They did reasonably well.
Reasonably well. Let's do this, Frank. Let's take a break here. Come back. Some interesting thoughts here and a little bit more to talk about with Armstrong here. Frank O'Neill's with us this morning. He is the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We have Frank O'Neill on the line with us this morning. He is the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're talking about some of the events over the last 7 days in this business. We were just talking about Armstrong's second quarter earnings, which were up by 28%. You know, you were talking about the similarity in sales numbers between the resilient and the building product segment.
Right.
And of course, one thing that, you know, after talking a couple of weeks ago or maybe a week and a half ago with Mohawks, with their Unilin unit doing as well as it has been doing, and part of that was because a major part of their sales are in Europe, and of course, a lot of the resilient floor covering sales here, I suspect that Armstrong, also come from Europe, which explains why they did as well as they did, or at least partially why they did as well as they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, at this stage, if your net sales are flat, which the resilient sales were basically flat last year, or last quarter, you're doing pretty good considering the health or lack thereof of the overall floor covering business. And you're right, the volume in Europe was good. The U.S. business is a lot bigger than the European business, but still, that volume growth in Europe definitely helped offset any the lower volume of the residential products in North America, and also the commercial products. Commercial business was, I think, reasonably strong, and the commercial. Interesting companies like Armstrong, which have both residential and commercial businesses, I think don't feel the pinch when you have a downturn in one sector. Business is usually good in the other sector, which is really a big help in the overall picture for a lot of companies in our industry. I think it really pays to be spread across both the residential and commercial marketplaces, I would say, Armstrong's results, and again, considering the overall economy, were pretty good this time around. I wanted to take a look at their overall outlook, what they say about what they expect for the rest of the year. They expect flat to modest growth across North American and European commercial markets, and sustained growth in the Pacific Rim. The commercial business is still okay, and of course the Pacific Rim is hot right now. And they say the outlook for North American residential markets is uncertain due to the continued weakness in U.S. housing starts. Well, you know, that's an interesting comment. I find in previous years, I think in the past, when we looked at the housing market, if we had a housing downturn in the past, it would pretty much take the U.S. economy with it. But the marketplace has changed so much in the past few years that it's almost impossible to predict what's going to happen 6 months to 12 months out now. And we know the housing market's extremely weak right now, Dave, but there's the strength of the euro against the dollar is having at least a short-term, very positive impact on the U.S. economy. We've seen the economy grow in the third quarter, that's helping to offset the very bad conditions in the housing market. So their comment that they don't know what's going to happen in the residential business, I think is very apropos for pretty much everybody in our industry across the board.
Yeah, well, especially with players that do so much business in the builder sector. And of course,
precisely, and yeah. Armstrong's big player in the builder sector.
Exactly.
And you know, it doesn't bode well for the retailers, especially those in the builder sector. You know, right now there's still two parts of this country, and only two parts of this country that seem to be doing reasonably well, and that's the Pacific Northwest and New York City. And New York City is unusual. New York is still booming on both the residential and commercial sides of the business. And, you know, the city benefited tremendously from the $80 billion that were paid to the investment banking community in bonuses last December.
Right, right.
And that's still having a tremendous impact on the local economy.
Frank, let me jump in here. Time to take yet another break.
You bet.
And we'll come back. I'm going to change the subject just a bit when we come back.
You bet.
We're still going to talk about Armstrong, but a different aspect of it. We're talking this morning with Frank O'Neill, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Frank O'Neill on the line this morning, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're talking about some of the events that have happened in this business over the last 7 days. We were talking about Armstrong's second quarter earnings, which came out earlier this week. And we ran a piece on floordaily.net one day last week, which must have been Wednesday or Thursday, the 25th, whenever that was. And we put a headline on it. So what happened to the Armstrong auction?
Uh-huh.
These are some of the things you brought up, some of these elements, a couple of 3 weeks ago. And it looks like some of the players, and I think we had talked about KKR pulling out.
Right.
And it says, according to this piece, and again, this was published in thedeal.com, they said that KKR, Mohawk, and Koch Industries have all dropped out. And, of course, these were citing unnamed sources. And they also said that the Carlyle Group has been interested, but they couldn't get any comment out of them. They also said that, then this comes from yet another unnamed source, that a couple of additional bidders have emerged at the last minute. And a comment that they made in this piece was they have disrupted the process. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but and I guess the other thing was, you know, not only is anybody interested anymore, but what the heck has taken this thing so long?
Yeah, well, as I had said 3 or 4 weeks ago, there were, you know, I know of at least one new bidder in the process, my sense of the whole thing is that this deal may not go through because, like you said, it's taking far, far too long. And, so I guess then the question you ask is, well, what happens if it doesn't go through? So, or would you ask that question?
Well, I would ask that question. Frank, what would happen, do you think, if this didn't go through?
Good question, Dave. I'm glad you asked.
Well, I think what the price is too high. I think we can all agree with that. I'm sure there are other reasons here, but I would say the number one reason is the price is too high. Wouldn't you agree?
Probably. Yeah. I that's what I have heard on the street, that not only is the price too high, but there are also some problems with the asbestos litigation still going forward that people are concerned about. Armstrong came out of Chapter 11 as a new company, but it still has, you know, some of the burdens of its past history on it. Well, But looking at the company as a standalone company, you know, we just finished going through their earnings, and frankly, considering the times that we're in, I thought they were pretty good. I thought the company's doing very well, considering. I don't think there'd be any problem with Armstrong going forward as a standalone company. You know, it's got a good name. It's got a great name. You know, we'd have to, the current management is untested, except in a bankruptcy situation. It's almost comparing a company or comparing an army to a war situation and a peacetime situation. Well, you know, it's peacetime now for Armstrong, and let's see how the generals perform in peacetime as compared to wartime. I would say, you know, in some ways it should be a piece of cake compared to what they've gone through.
It's interesting. I don't think there's any question. It's certainly an attractive company. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and just talk a bit more about this before I change the subject.
Yeah, sure.
Frank O'Neill's with us this morning, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to pause for some messages. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We have Frank O'Neill on the line with us this morning, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're talking about the Armstrong auction and what seems to be taking so long and why it doesn't appear like there's that many people interested anymore. And I guess, Frank, if we do agree that the price is too high, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Plan B is to attempt to sell this this company piecemeal. A little bit here, a little bit there. What do you think?
Well, interesting thought, because, you know, like we said, the building products business is really looks like the star of the business right now, doing quite well under difficult market conditions. The floor covering business, you know, it's if Mohawk and Shaw have pulled out, who's going to be interested in it other than maybe a private equity group? I think the strength of the Armstrong floor covering business would certainly have to be their wood business and their commercial vinyl business, the resilient business, the commercial side of that business. Residential vinyl still, it's been struggling for a long time now and continues to struggle. But, you know, nevertheless, it's a business that Armstrong has always been a leader in. So.
Yeah, well, you know, if any of these players, if these players pulled out because the price was too high, if the decision is made to sell piecemeal, then it's likely all of these people might be back in again.
I don't know. I haven't a clue about that. You know, we'd have to wait and see. I'm sure that has been on the table, though. You know, the possibility of selling it. You know, one company taking the building materials business and another taking the floor covering business. So,
anyway,
you know,
it's.
I just don't have any insights into that, Dave.
Well, I don't know that anybody does, other than these unnamed sources who contributed to this Deal.com article. We'll just have to wait and see what happens on it. And I suspect there's a lot of folks getting edgy as to why this thing is taking so long. So I suspect there's some incentive to get something done here. Anyway, let me change the subject. We talked about there being several earnings reports. Another one that has taken place here since we talked last Wednesday, Interface. Earnings were down by 83% to $998,000. That was primarily the sale of the company's fabrics unit. It was a good quarter. it just happened that they sold their fabrics unit during this quarter, and that reflects that sale.
And actually, before you go on, Dave, with the numbers themselves, that fabrics business has been the monkey on Interface's back for years and years now. So I think that sale is enormous going forward. But go ahead and read the numbers, and then I'll comment more on that.
Okay. Earnings from continuing operations up by 57% to $13 million, or 22 cents a share. Sales in the quarter up by 19% to $265 million. Analysts were looking for 22 cents a share, so they beat that, or I guess they equaled that. And they were also looking for sales of $268 million, so they missed that by three. But in essence, as you mentioned, they're basically a floor covering company again.
Well, that's, I know for years and years now, that's what Ray Anderson has, was his ultimate goal, to really concentrate on their core business. Of course, that would be carpet tile or modular carpet. They're the world leader in that category, and they have a residential and commercial, mostly commercial, broadloom business in California, Bentley Prince Street, very top-notch company. The biggest part of that business is the commercial broadloom,
commercial
and
broadloom.
They have a very small residential business, and so does Interface has a very small residential tile business,
which has a lot of potential.
Tile in the residential market, it's a niche business. It could be quite interesting.
Yeah, let's.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in here, but before you get off on a new thought, it's time for yet another break here.
Got to
keep those advertisers happy. They get surly if I don't. So let's take a break. let's take a break here. Frank O'Neill's with us this morning. He is the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Frank O'Neill's with us this morning, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're talking about Interface's second quarter earnings, which were pretty nice, thank you very much. And the company said they established record revenues in the modular business, and they've done so in each of the key geographical markets. And it seems like across the board, they're doing right well in modular.
Indeed. And that's, they have, their business really covers three key areas. That would be North America, Europe, and the Pacific Rim. And you know, it's the growth in the Pacific Rim, I think, is it's been going like gangbusters. Europe has been very strong. The North American commercial business has been very strong. It'll be interesting to see what happens to companies like Interface going forward with the I don't know at this point how the tightening of commercial credit what kind of impact it's going to have on Interface and other players in the commercial market, but you know, to date, commercial floor covering sales, particularly in the corporate sector, have been very strong. Corporate and hospitality sectors, very, very strong. You know, the tightening of commercial credit, I think it's going to it's going to probably have more of an impact on the investment companies like KKR and Blackstone.
Well, it doesn't seem to affect them. They said that their worldwide modular sales up by 21%. They said orders up by 30% as compared with the second quarter of 2006. And let me see. They said American modular business continued very strong performance, orders up by 33% to mark the fifth straight record quarter for the Americas.
Yeah. And once again, the sale of the fabrics business, huge for this company. It helps them pay down debt, and also it focuses their energy on that core business of theirs.
That's right.
Floor covering.
Dan Hendricks said that they're growing faster than the overall builder market, or overall than the market is. They're building share. So
that's right. So Dan must be one happy guy, because things are going right for that company right now.
Well, again, you know, waiting for this commercial segment to take off, and of course, I guess the big question was, can they really take advantage of it? And they seem to be doing that in a big way.
Absolutely.
Let's do this. We got about another minute or so before a break. Dixie also reported their second quarter earnings.
Another interesting one, I have to say.
Another interesting one, that's exactly right. During the quarter, they reported net income of $2.4 million, 19 cents a share. Analysts were looking for 16 cents a share. Sales in the quarter off by 4% to $84.4 million. And I think overall, given the situation, that's a darn good quarter.
Well, they managed to beat the overall carpet business. I think, carpet for the quarter seemed to be down 8 to 10%, somewhere in that range. So, you could say they did quite well in a very bad market situation. Their commercial business, I think, helped kind of level off any downturn in their residential business. And once again, like I said before, when you have a company that's spread over both the residential and commercial markets, the strength in one can help offset weakness in the other.
That's exactly right. And they're also in the modular business, brand new in that sector, and they seem to be doing well in that area as well.
That's right. I know Dan Frierson wasn't happy with the growth to date, even though sales of these products grew over 35 cents above the first quarter of this year. It was below their expectations.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I would have thought, that he would have been satisfied with that kind of growth, but, they're starting from a very low level, so he is optimistic about the contribution of the tile business going forward for the rest of the year. So, right now with Maslin Commercial, I think needed to have a tile business.
No question about it. No question about it. Let's take a break here, Frank.
Sure.
This will be the last one. Frank O'Neill's with us this morning. He is the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking this morning with Frank O'Neill, the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine, looking back at some of the events that have occurred in this business over the last 7 days. And this is one that we had on the floordaily.net website. This was something that came originally from HFD, and it said that Shaw Living is leaving High Point.
Yeah,
and they said decided that... I think the quote was that it wasn't in the best interest at this time to renew. And, of course, Shaw, that's not the first time Shaw has done that.
Well, High Point's big furniture market. I would say that Shaw Living's customer base is probably mostly, big boxes and the independent retailers. So... not furniture related businesses.
Well, there's a lot of big rug players there. Almost everybody is there.
Yeah. Well, also maybe costs are getting too high. It's you know, Shaw as a company has always looked at the costs of these markets can be very high, and you know, Shaw has a huge sales team, so maybe they feel it's more economic for them to and of course they have a huge distribution network. You know, maybe they feel they don't need the markets anymore.
That's interesting. Well, I think they pick and choose, and when they feel it's a good idea, they'll go in, and when they feel it's not, they won't. And I think that's the way they've historically been.
And it certainly hasn't hurt their business.
It doesn't seem to have. Let me change the subject here. We had an acquisition on the commercial side of this business and in the contractor arena. Legacy has bought the flooring unit of OCP. They're based in Toledo.
Well, Legacy is in
Columbia,
Toledo,
Legacy.
OCP, I'm pretty sure they're in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
Yeah, but that's an interesting one. Two StarNet dealers. Legacy is the biggest. It's certainly going to be the biggest contract floor covering dealer in Ohio right now. They're going to have branches in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Portsmouth, Ohio. OCP has branches there. And OCP, interesting company. President Matt Townsend said agreement's going to enable them to concentrate on their core business. They're a big contract supply house in Ohio. They have ceilings and walls, all kinds of acoustical supplies. They have painting business, commercial painting, construction materials like metal studs and drywall, and then also a lot of custom services. So they're going to concentrate on that, and Legacy will be concentrating on the floor covering part of the business. And George Holinga, is the CEO of Legacy, and this certainly makes them a huge player in the commercial contract flooring business. I don't know exactly how big Legacy will be, but it'll certainly be a big player.
I wonder if we're going to see a lot more of these acquisitions going forward over the next couple of years.
You know, I'm not sure there's any signs of a trend in this direction. You know, I haven't seen that, Dave. You know, we saw some consolidation when Shaw and the folks at Coke and Interface disbanded their dealer networks. Well, of course, Shaw still has a dealer network, but it's not quite as big as it used to be. We saw a lot of acquisitions then. You know, I think the acquisition phase for the contract dealer business, if there had been one, it's pretty much over with right now.
I gotcha. Well, on that note, Frank, we are out of time.
Oh, that's too bad.
And
a lot more things to talk about.
Yeah, a lot more things to talk about. When the station manager starts looking at you at the side of his face, it's time for me to get off here. So.
Uh-oh, I heard he can be a very mean guy, too.
I do not want to cross him today.
And that was unnamed sources, by the way, told me that.
The same ones with the deal.com, no doubt.
That's it. Okay, Dave.
Anyway, Frank, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it.
We'll see you, Frank.
All right, buddy.
We've been talking with Frank O'Neill. He is the co-publisher of Floor Focus magazine, and you're listening to Floor Radio.